The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up to heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
That's what I've mentioned at the beginning of this Mass. We are celebrating today the solemnity of the Ascension of the Lord in the Archdiocese of Portland. There are several dioceses in the U.S. Majority of the dioceses in the U.S. move the actual Feast of Ascension to the nearest Sunday to the actual feast. The actual Feast day of the Ascension was last Thursday. Because if we count from Easter Sunday to Thursday, that's 40 days. And why do we move it to the nearest Sunday? To allow a greater participation into this important solemnity and for us to truly enter into one of the mysteries of the faith, one of the important teachings of the Church. Now, what's the significance then of the Ascension of Jesus? And why celebrate it? 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended back to the Father. 40 days. You know, I've mentioned it before that 40, the number 40, is a significant biblical number. It speaks of preparation. 40 days during the time of Lent before entering into the Easter season. It's a preparation for Easter, 40 days of Lent. The Israelites wandered in the desert for 40 years in preparation for their entrance to the Promised Land. 40 years of preparation. Now, how did and what's this preparation for the disciples after the resurrection to the ascension? What did they do? What did they have to prepare for? Well, remember that during the most intense and the most difficult part in the life of Jesus, the disciples abandoned him. So the next 40 days after his resurrection is for the disciples to relearn once again their faith. It was a time for them again to recommit to the gospel. It was also an opportunity for Christ to reteach them once again in the ways of faith. Because Jesus, we're telling them, you know, even before this, "In a little while, you will see me. In a little while longer, you will no longer see me. So you guys better be prepared. Because you are the one who's going to continue the mission entrusted to me by the Father. And I am handing it to you." You know, Would it not be a lot easier if Jesus did not return to heaven or to the Father? Would it be nice if we can just have, if Jesus can be with us and say, oh, you know, someone is sick. Let's just call Jesus. There's a question about God, you know. Sometimes I have just many questions in the confessional. It's like, it would be a lot easier if I could just call Jesus if he's here. Probably the disciples would have probably felt that way. It's like, oh, there's a hard question in here. Where's the boss? Call him. It would be a lot easier if Jesus would have stayed here. But Jesus also knew that if he won't go back to the Father, we will just gonna be so depending on him, not in a positive way. We will not gonna be exerting the best effort that we can give in order to participate in the building up of the kingdom of God. This is probably, you know, I mentioned this before, the same feeling when you send your children for the first time away from home to go for college. You know, you don't want to be separated from them, but you know that it's necessary. Well, some of you may probably wanna send them. I don't know, but I've heard some. But you know, there is that, like, we want to hold on to them. But it is only when we let them go and fly in their own wings that they can come back to us in a new and renewed way. And the relationship is changed. You know, it's so amazing the first time that my mom visited me here in the U.S. after being gone from the Philippines. She stayed with me for a couple of weeks. And she was just surprised about the things that's like, oh, you know how to cook now? Oh, you know how to do laundry now? It's like, oh, yeah, of course. You know, there was just so many things that she was surprised that I am able to do now. But she said, oh, I never thought you're going to learn these things. It's like, Mom, I'm growing up too. And by the way, I'm a priest already too. But I would have probably not learned those things if I stayed home. Or I would not have been ordained if I stayed home. That would have probably happened with the disciples also, if Jesus was always going to be around. But you know, Jesus ascending back to the Father doesn't mean that Jesus is done with us and say, okay, my 3 years of stint with you guys is over. I'm going back to my old place and sit and relax in my lazy boy. You guys can deal on your own. It's not like that. But rather, now that I am not physically with you, I can be with you in the most intimate way because I am no longer confined to a specific place. You see, Jesus ascending back to the Father doesn't mean, you know, it's not because Jesus doesn't want to deal with us anymore, but rather because he wants to be more intimate with us. So that he can be more accessible to us because he is no longer bound by time, by space, by location. But rather, whenever we try to invoke him and tell him, Lord, I need you, I want to enter into you, he's there. Do you really believe that? You know, when you pray, you're not praying to someone who is like millions of miles away in the sky. And it's like, is he even hearing me? Is the signal strong? But rather, believe this, guys. Believe this deep within your heart, that when you enter into communion with Him in prayer, He is really right next to you, holding your hand so tight and say, I am here. And that's the gift of the ascension. That's the gift of the ascension. That's the ascension made that possible for you and I. So that is why it is so interesting here in the first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, you know, that we were told that when Jesus was ascending into heaven and the disciples were looking at the sky and they were just like doing this, mesmerized. And then we were told that two men dressed in white garments stood beside them and they said, Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking at the sky? It's like they were reminded, hey, Jesus is no longer in the clouds. Why are you still looking up? And where is Jesus then? You have to look back on the level. And Jesus is here. You have to look on yourself, and Jesus is here. He's no longer in the sky. I am not saying that He's not in heaven. But rather, we don't find Jesus looking up the sky. If you want to find Jesus, just look yourself in the mirror. Jesus is there. Just turn to the person right next to you. Jesus is there. To your left, to your right, to your side, to your front. Jesus is there. He's no longer in the sky. And you know, in the gospel, this is, by the way, the gospel that we heard is the very last chapter, the very last part of the Gospel of Luke. When we were told that before Jesus ascended into heaven, we were told that he led the disciples out as far as Bethany. What does this mean, that he led the disciples out? Meaning, he went through the same route, everything that they did for 3 years. They kind of reviewed the route and say, guys, I want you to remember the things that we have done together. You know, the word led here, it was so interesting. The word led, when I reread this in the original Greek, not a few days ago, you know the word led that was used? The word exodo. Exodus. Just like the Israelites were being led to the promised land, that's what Jesus did to his disciples before he ascended into heaven and say, I'm gonna lead you, and this is the way to the Father. I'm gonna teach it again with you so that you can teach it to the people that you will encounter. I'm gonna teach you. So Jesus is telling them, you have everything what it takes to see me again at the right hand of the Father. Guys, we are not, what's the word in English? Oh my goodness. It's so early and I'm not finding the word. We are not bereft. What's the other synonym for bereft? Lacking. That's the word. Oh, jeez. We are not lacking. We are not lacking of what's gonna take to see Him again at the right hand of the Father. Just listen again to the opening prayer today. Gladden us with holy joys, Almighty God, and make us rejoice with devout thanksgiving For the ascension of Christ your Son is our exaltation, and where the head, Jesus, has gone before, the body, us, is called to follow in hope. And how do we follow him? He sent his disciples, he led his disciples until Bethany. And where is Bethany? Almost at the entrance of Jerusalem, 3 kilometers away to Jerusalem before the cross. Telling us, this is the way, guys. This is your GPS. Just follow this and you're gonna see me again. And in the preface today, just give me a minute. This is a great summary of what we celebrate today. In the preface today, it highlights even more when it says this. Mediator between God and man, judge of the world and Lord of hosts, he ascended not to distance himself from our lowly state, but that we, his members, might be confident of following where he, our head and founder, has gone before. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? Now, Christ has done the heavy lifting for us already. When he ascended into heaven, he practically says, guys, the path is open for you as well. In many, many ways, even though we are not yet there, he ascended there with us in one way or another. The question is, what's pulling you down in order for you and I not to be where we need to be? At this point in your life right now, what's pulling you down in order for you and I not to be right next to the throne of the Father, right next to Jesus? And the gravity that pulls us down are not other people, not situations of other people. Many times, the gravity is within us. Our sins, our misgivings. Everything has been given to us, guys. We just have to grab it and follow the route that Jesus led until Bethany. And in Bethany, we enter Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, we offer our very lives to God. And there, we encounter resurrection.